I was tapping the wrong thing. Should we get ready to start?
We got enough?
We don't have enough to vote on anything. So, I'd like to welcome everyone to board meeting.
Is that on?
I don't know. Is that on? Oh, there.
You want to borrow mine?
Oh, yeah, you're on.
No, I don't like him anyway, so I'm okay. Okay, so we haven't got enough here today to vote on anything. We only have the acceptance of the minutes that we'd have to vote on, but Roger is out sick today, and Todd and Sharice are at a meeting somewhere.
Training.
So we'll move on with that. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, our next meeting will be October 25th back at Bridgerland. Are there any questions for the, comments for the management in the board? Anybody? Okay, we'll move on then. This is going to be a quick meeting. Okay, we have a new board member, Amber Slide. Would you like to tell a little bit about yourself?
Hold the mic towards you.
I've lived in Millville since 1999. I just recently retired from the sheriff's office. I did 20 years public service for the sheriff's office and retired in March. So I've been home since March, just riding my bike and quilting and doing yoga and doing fun retired stuff. My husband works for Hill Air Force Base. The A-10 program, and he's also in the Navy Reserves. He just made chief in the Reserves, so that's been exciting for us. We have three girls. Two are college age, 25 and 24, so they're moved out doing their thing, and I have one left at home. She's 16, almost 17, and that's just a little bit about me.
Well, so, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Curtis will swear you in.
Okay.
So, Amber, how do you stand?
Do you want me to come up?
Nope, you just stay right there.
Okay.
And we'll have you raise your right arm. Repeat after me. I, and then state your name.
I, Amber Slide.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations. Okay. Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll turn the time over to Craig to discuss the 25-year celebration.
Yeah, so I don't recall exactly how many of us all made it. I know a lot of you did, and I think we had a really good turnout. It was a good event. It was some great speeches. Got to see the video. We had a near miss on the food showing up late. And as a former caterer, that's always amazing. Turned out great. It was good food and a great opportunity. It was nice to have President Noelle Cockett address everyone, and I think she had a really good down-to-earth conversation with everyone about transportation and the value of CVTD and how it impacts both the community and the university in a lot of ways. So that was really, really nice to hear. And then, of course, Congressman Bishop was very much on board with our program, even though he felt really guilty about driving solo all the way from Fox and McCann. It was a lot of fun. It was a good meeting. Any other comments from any of the board members? Recollections?
Just well done.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
Enjoyable. Good job.
Yeah, I was very impressed. So thanks to Todd and Sharice for all their hard work and the PEP committee's contributions as well. So thank
good
you all.
Movie.
Well, did you get, have you seen it?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, okay.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. Oh, I thought you were asking if it was a good movie.
No, it was a good movie. Is it on the website?
I don't know that it is.
I think so.
If it is, make some popcorn and watch it.
Yeah, there are copies available if anybody would like to share that with anybody, with their council members. Strongly recommend you do that.
Okay.
Right, that's it.
Thanks. Okay, we'll move on to Ron, and he'll discuss governance and the potential use of surveys.
I don't know how to actually put this, but getting everybody to respond to us, see, Debbie's not here, so it's the monkey survey for me. I love you. I use a lot of this. I answer a lot of Survey Monkey surveys with the Department of Energy. So we've affectionately referred to it as a monkey survey, you know. Put the coin in, lower the lash, you know, go in and obey and take the survey. So, but the first 2 weeks, I only got 3 responses. The second plea, I got up to 9. And the third plea, I got up to 12. So we were doing pretty good. I met with the executive committee a week ago today, I think it was, or no, a week ago Tuesday. And we discussed the results at the time, and or not the results. We actually talked about doing the survey. How do you folks feel about doing the survey? Did we miscommunicate, or I should say, did I miscommunicate why we were doing it? The purpose of the survey is that if we look at the results, and we say that this policy has 3 items to it, and everybody agrees to 2 of the 3 items, and those 2 we don't need to discuss at the board. And then if you've got a no on a, if you've got a predominant no, you know, all of the surveys, if you look at the results, and I've got them here with me, I tabulated them out of the bigger picture and made a single table for each of the 5 questions. And everybody liked what was done. There's only 1 to 2 to maybe 4 people that said no on one portion of it. But each survey, each of the 5 questions does have comments. You know, some are small, like, you know, need more information or please specify and stuff like that. So my question is, can we still use the SurveyMonkey as a tool so that when we have Todd issue his next policy interpretation, that we can use it? The information I've gotten back from a couple of people have said, yes, I want to keep the survey because I can sit down, read it, and take the time to input the information into the survey. Now, the results of the survey are blind to me. Who enters the survey is blind to me when I pull the information off. All it says is you've got 2 results or 2 comments for this question, and here's all the yeses and here's all the no's. And it gives me a percentage. Percentages of yes and percentages of no's, but it's based on the total participation. And what I did is I based it on 19 board members. So when you look at my percentages in the table, it's based on 19 board members. So like if we've got 10 yeses and it says this is, you know, 48 or 52%, it's based on 19 board members responding, you know, 10 of the board members out of 19 responding. And the same with the no's. So any discussion on continuing using that? We didn't plan on going over all of the results tonight because Roger just wanted to know if you want to continue using the survey.
Did you hear any negative remarks concerning SurveyMonkey? I thought it was pretty to sit back and take your time and read, and if you were interrupted, it's fine. You could come back to it. It worked fine for me.
Okay. You want to continue using the survey?
I would recommend staying with it.
Okay.
I don't know what better alternative.
Well, the other alternative is to take each policy, come here and discuss each one individually. I didn't think we really wanted to just be here for a couple hours.
But I think it's bad that we don't have better participation.
That was my concern. And I was wondering if we kicked it off the wrong way. You know, if it wasn't that clear.
Maybe one of the questions could be, do you want to discuss this in greater detail as part of the board? Because if you get five or six that say, yeah, I'd like to have a little more in-depth discussion about this section, maybe that's a good alternative
so
as well.
So add a sixth question?
Possibly.
Okay.
Just to each one. And it might just be no.
That's
no, we're
good.
Good.
Idea.
Okay. All right, we can do that. But I'm hoping that's easy. I'm learning. I'm learning how to use this. Downloading the information was slick, but it's checking the right boxes, so by the time I got to the fourth PDF file, I got the right information, so anyway.
So as far as procedures go, though, if we continue to struggle to get participation, do we run into any problems with, similar to having not enough for a quorum, do we get ourselves into a situation and later on down the road, somebody has concerns about what the board is doing, when we go back to these documents and it shows that the board wasn't really participating, is that a concern at all? Or do we just run with it? And if we only get two responses to a survey, that's what we got.
I figured since we got 19, we need at least 50% plus one.
Because if there is a low response, it could be bad. So.
Yeah, it could be really bad.
Is it legal to say, if you're not going to respond within 30 days, that means you don't care and we can go ahead with whatever people do?
Would you like to answer that one there, Curtis? You're Todd.
I didn't know I looked like an attorney, but... Realistically, anything that's said in SurveyMonkey is just to give an indicator of what's to discuss at board meeting. Even if somebody has a strong objection, let's say, for example, under this scenario, you put out, you have 10 yeses, 2 noes, and you got 12 responses, and that's all you got. The two people that said no still have the opportunity to come into board meeting and express their opinion on that and ask the chair for time to present their ideas. And so in response to it, you can use it as a guide for the discussion of board meeting, absolutely. Is it the final end result? No, the board would still have to take action saying, my recommendation is, the board would address it and say, is there any further discussion? And then the chair would have to address that discussion at that point in time.
Okay, so what I'm gathering here is that we could then present the data, the end results here, and just say, and then as we discuss it, then we could have somebody provide a motion that we accept the interpretation as written, or we need more information on XYZ interpretation.
That probably actually is a requirement that we do that.
So that we will actually need to have a motion and vote on it and accept it. And use the SurveyMonkey as a place to gather information and comments.
And then can I make one other suggestion? This might be one of the reasons it was low this time. We are all busy, we talk a little bit, then we run home and get a whole bunch of stuff done that night, and then we see a SurveyMonkey a couple of days later. Like, no, wait, what is this about? And as we look into it, if it's not really quick, if it's not right front and center text that jogs our memory as to why we're doing what we're doing, we'll set it aside. So it might be good to include a PDF that reminds us as to what we're doing and why.
Okay.
Just a quick one, like a couple sentences. We
can actually put that in the email with the SurveyMonkey link.
Just to jog memory, okay. that might have helped in this instance because it happened to me at one of the times I went up to take it.
Okay. I can do that since I'll be the one sending them out.
Well, those multiple emails are good because sometimes I click on an email and I get distracted because there's something else and it gets piled down the bottom. It's, I usually like to make them so they're unread eventually so I can remember it. And so you're sending an email with a good product. I didn't mean to forget about it. So multiple emails could be sent but not take offense if nobody responds.
Let me offer one suggestion that I learned from Susan when she talked to us about the Survey Monkey, is that if you start the survey and then decide to stop and then come back to it, you need to re-enter your data. Because it will overwrite. If you don't put anything in for the things that you've already answered and you pick up where you left off, that's the only part that's going to get accepted in the Survey Monkey, and it will overwrite everything as though it's a brand new input. So, and then when I hit analyze, I'll get just that part that you've just entered, thinking that the rest of the stuff's going to come with it. So,
and this, I may be off on this, but for me, on it, I'm not quite sure how to do it, but it was going back and forth so much. Like I had to read the question and then go to the document. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't feel like it's user friendly. I mean, I like the survey thing. I'm trying to think how to make it so I can have that document right here. I guess I could print it off.
That's what I did.
I guess, yeah, I had to print it off. I mean, I kept going back and forth, but.
Yeah, I gave up on my phone.
Yeah, I was trying to do it on my phone because sometimes I'm, and see, that's the problem is I'm so busy.
That's true.
And I was trying to do it on my phone, I realized I can't do it on my phone because
it's
like some surveys are easy. Yes or no, yes or no. Yeah, but this survey, that it's not user-friendly. So
well, one of the things that I did with mine is how I answered it, is I went and copied all the questions off, put it in a separate Word document, and then I sat down and I went through looking at the interpretation, the questions, and it was either yes or no, or you put input at the bottom.
Yes.
And so I looked at each one and I gathered all my input, and then I went in and I identified all the yeses and noes, and then I slapped the other thing. And so when I went through the survey, it took me like 5 minutes because I was cutting and pasting. Okay, because I'd already done it.
Yeah.
That was the way I chose to do it.
Because I wasn't thinking about it, and I read through everything, and then I realized when I read through it all, and then when I went to the survey, I was like, oh, crap, now I've got to read it all over. I mean, almost read it all over again. For me, I mean, I'm not as...
You have to borrow another phone.
So, Sally,
yes.
We're going to put in a recommendation to Apple. The iPhone 11 will be a dual-screen phone.
Well, now, please, yes, I needed it. If I had a dual-screen, and if Cache County School District could give that to me, or my home, my husband, and he would say Android only.
We had, you provided us copies, I think, last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I used this, and then... just the
response.
It doesn't work, and it was like not available.
Well, you know, the other thing that I realized is that when I started putting comments in, and I didn't realize this until after I hit analyze and started looking, I started seeing my own comments, and going, my comments aren't tied to the policy that I wanted it to be, because the input is for that whole policy section for that question. So I should have gone back and said, okay, for policy 2.1, here's my comment. For policy 2.2, here's my comment, and then I don't have anything else, so everything else is yes, but those two are no's, for example. Mm-hmm. So the text needs to be attached to the policy that we're talking about. Now, the only other way we can do it is to restructure it to where, and this I don't recommend this, because this way, to me, is simpler, is to have the question for each policy individually with a comment. That means you'd be doing it forever. Mm-hmm. And I have seen, I've worked those kinds of surveys through my work, and they get very cumbersome. So
I suppose just printing it off, and if I don't have, because I don't always have it right at my hand wherever I'm at. So.
Okay. Any other comments? So, I'll get with the PEP committee, we'll go over the results that we've gotten, and then we'll bring them to the board next month for the two policies that we have. I'm going to tell Todd to hold off on sending any other policies to us to review until we get these two done. And these are, these will get us in a mode to look at, because...
So hypothetically speaking, if I'm one of the slackers that didn't do it, if you have a print off there, then I can take it and do it on my phone. Can I borrow it? Hypothetically speaking. Is it too late, or...
Well, let me put it this way. If there are people here who didn't do the survey, go on and do it.
Hypothetically.
Because I haven't closed it out. Because I have not closed it out yet. So if you have, do it. And then we'll just, I'll sit on it for a couple of more weeks, and then I'll get with the PEP committee, and then we'll go over everything, and then we'll bring you the results that we have come up with to look at, to analyze, and go from there. Sound okay? We do okay on that? Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ron. With Sally coming, we have enough to do a motion to accept the minutes. So do I... Thank you, Sally. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes?
I move to accept the minutes.
Second.
All right. Any questions?
So that was moved by Sean and seconded by Roger Pond.
Okay. So any questions on those? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number 9 with Curtis to discuss the short-range transit plan, the next steps.
So Todd asked me to discuss a little bit, now that the short-range transit plan has been accepted, what exactly does that mean and where do we go from here? And as we were discussing, we thought we might use an analogy just to kind of put it in kind of a frame of reference. I know there was a lot of what seemed like specifics that were presented in the short-range transit plan, but really that planning document is more like a 30,000-foot level. So imagine an airplane traveling at 30,000 feet. Our goal now between management and the board is to take that 30,000-foot document and determine, is there a way to bring some of this down into a landing zone and get it down more into the 5,000-foot range, which would then lead down into specifics of, okay, then how do you implement? So this is a gradual process of coming down. And so we liken it a lot to, if we're at 30,000 feet, we've got multiple runways that we're shooting for. That plan had multiple options, multiple alternatives, and had some conceptual ideas that are going to kind of dictate where do we want to try and land some of these ideas. And so if we consider it in that kind of context, some of those ideas are, is there focus on dense areas of population? Not that population's dense, making sure you... density of population. Or do we go more for coverage throughout the entire region or area? And if so, what should that region be? It can get into modes of service. Do we deviate? Right now we've been doing we've been doing fixed route with complementary paratransit. Do we explore other options such as van pools? And what we're looking for over the course of the next few months is having discussion at the board level as to what makes sense. Can the board come to a consensus as to what type of options appear more palatable? What types of options appear more favorable? But then we as management can then go back through, use our understanding, use our expertise, and develop some scenarios. So we develop multiple alternatives. Of course, coming to you with a preferred alternative and a couple other alternatives to see if any of those appear agreeable to bring it down in, that would then trigger more specific ideas, such as we would have to have typically more public input via some sort of format that they're trying to get public involved even more in the process, especially dealing with specific areas that would be impacted directly either by reductions in surface or expansion of service. So the biggest thing we wanted to clarify is this is not a doing document, this is a planning document. Now we're going to drop it down into, is there any portion that we want to try and turn into doing, implementation? And so over the course of the next few months, we might be using SurveyMonkey or we might be using other means to try and get board input as to where does the board see that they would like us to focus our strategy on. Is that
so we would be establishing policy that dictates you what runway to use, and then you guys tell us how we land.
And we give you multiple scenarios as to that landing pattern even. So,
your decision will be based on policy that already exists, implementing that. You'll give options from the plan using policies we already have.
Well, unless the board decides that they want to modify those.
The policy. But we're not setting any policy in it. We're just working with options that you guys are going to bring the abstract ideas into options that then get discussed.
Yeah, with some basic direction, because we need to understand, you know, do you want us to consider alternative? Is doing alternative modes even an option out here, or do we stick with what we know how to do really well, which is fixed route? I mean, it's those types of decisions that kind of give us authorization to start pursuing different options and coming to the board with that. Of course, you know, every option is going to have some sort of fiscal impact. It's going to have some sort of a operational impact, and it's definitely going to have community impact. And that's especially where we need the help, is you bringing back ideas from your communities as to what makes most sense for transportation in your areas. And then we can come up with actual service alternatives as to how would that, what sort of ideas could be delivered into those communities. And then we would get specific into very much more specific cost projections, staffing projections. We can get ridership. One of the tools that we've actually invested in just recently, we worked out a deal with the CMPO with some funding that they have to invest in some new planning software. And we're going to be able to probably start demonstrating that in a number of months, where it would actually focus not just on a city being impacted, but how would it impact people within like a quarter mile of any route changes. Ridership, what sort of demographics are in that area? It gathers all the census data that's out there and automatically puts in some projections. And so we're going to be able to do a lot more exact projection. They're still projections. the margin of error is going to narrow, if that makes sense from a statistical standpoint. But that way you're going to have a little bit more data to go off of as we consider some of these service options. So we'll be able to more fully explain why is one alternative more preferable than another. And hopefully we can adapt and get information back quicker by using the software. Of course, that's all dependent on the software doing exactly what they tell us it will. So I'm going to leave that caveat in there. We've played around with it enough to where we think it's a good investment, but I'm always hesitant until you actually hit the ground with it. We haven't put any of our specific data in yet. We've seen a lot of others, and we did a lot of research on it. So, and the net cost of the district is minimal because of the grant funding from CMPO.
It's cheaper than contracting a planner, which we've had to do
very,
in the past.
Very much so. Questions about further steps of where this is going, where the short-range transit plan is going, concerns, comments? Great.
Okay, Curtis is going to do the additional funding that Roger was going to do.
Yes. One of the interesting things with the legislature this last session is they created a transportation task force. And I know Todd's talked a little bit about this. Todd has actually been participating on that task force, and he's been providing updates back of what's going on to Roger, and also we've had discussions amongst our management team. The number of things that have come up is the concept that UDOT and a lot of the officials involved in the overall transportation plan along the Wasatch Front primarily. There's a number of bodies. There's Wasatch Regional Council. You have some of the major counties and that are bringing people together, as well as state legislators on that task force. But they've come to a conclusion after monitoring the gas tax that it's on a steady decline. And I don't think that's shocking anybody. Wonderful revelation. They probably have some accountant back there saying, look, here's the data. So
hit it on the accountant. There we go.
Darn right we will. So what does that mean? what it means is less money going out throughout the state for roads and other transportation projects. So this task force is starting to come up with ideas of, are there different types of funding sources? Is there a better way to develop road funding? And some of those recommendations are also coming back with, how wide would the freeways have to be to accommodate traffic in 2050? And one of the studies that came back with from the planners, once again, this is a plan, but if you took like the area around like Centerville, a lot of us have driven that down to Salt Lake, basically go another two lanes on the side of the freeway, each way at least is what they're saying, plus the additional emergency lanes. So they're talking about wiping out a whole bunch of prime commercial property, and the price tag for acquiring those right-of-ways, moving those businesses, is astronomical. So one of the things they're recognizing is building more roads is not always going to be the solution. So they're focusing a lot on how would they make Front Runner more viable as an option to people. There's even been discussion, heaven forbid, into fare-free areas. It's a unique concept that not very many places understand. But there was that actual word terminology used in the task force. So the different ways of charging for even commuters, would we go into a toll road type situation? Use of high occupancy lanes and how that would work. So the reason we're bringing this up is there are going to be documents going back out to cities. There's going to be discussion of the state legislature and your city councils and other government officials maybe talking about some of these options. We want to make sure that you guys understand that there's information out there. And we're going to be trying to bring that back to you as well so that if you're approached, and hopefully as you approach your city officials, you have talking points. You can start bringing those concepts back in here. Because once again, we've got to take our planning document and align it with a lot of those concepts, because whatever changes they do to funding could definitely impact us as well. Some of their conceptual changes could impact some of the ideas as we try to, develop links down into Salt Lake. And some of that development of links could actually be impacted. So there's going to be more information coming. That's just kind of a brief overview. There's no decisions made by this task force. They're just in research mode. But that's where a lot of the research is coming now.
What about the sales tax? Isn't there supposed to be a vote on a tax here in Cache County? Aren't they getting to the end of the rope where they've got to do it or not do it?
No, there's still the my understanding is the tax code is already set up. The tax structure is already there. It's
no,
just a matter
isn't there like a quarter, it's like a tenth of a 30 this, or, get down to where like the zeros are way out here for the tax or something?
There is the tax was passed 2 years ago for transit, and then it was for the counties and cities. And I have, or there is.
Aren't they supposed to put it on the ballot, though?
On the ballot next year.
Oh, it's on the ballot next year.
There was some movement to put it on it this year, but then they realized it was a municipal election, not a county election. And so there is talk of putting it there. They want support from all, they meaning Cache County, want support from all the cities and probably the transit district to do so. But they pushed it off a little ways. So we'll see what happens. But there was at least talk about having that actual election happen. And that would be good.
That comes from the county.
It would come from the county. Have
to put on there. Yeah, and right now we're letting the county, we're following the county's lead as far as if the county says they want to go, then we want to listen to what the city say, we want to listen to what you say, and then we'll follow that lead.
What is the tax? I keep forgetting. What
it's
is
a
it?
Quarter cent.
It's a quarter cent?
Quarter percent. Sorry.
Quarter percent?
Not a quarter cent. Yeah, quarter percent.
But some of the communities didn't take it, right? Didn't opt to go there?
That tax hasn't been even considered in Cache County.
So this would be new.
It'd be it's something that the county.
There are counties in Utah that turned it down.
Yes.
voted.
That they changed it also on the field. So before they had an automatic 40% going right to transit. And that really turned off a lot of counties like Utah and Salt Lake. So they've changed it now. So the county gets to decide won't do more than 40% and no less than 10% towards transit. So the county will set what that percentage would be. In hopes that it would encourage chances of passing.
Other questions, comments?
Well, in essence, what you're saying, because of the declining gas tax, you're looking at other ways to improve transportation, and some of it might spill out into mass transit.
The general consensus coming through with the task force is, especially along the Wasatch Front, the ability to build enough freeway capacity is so costly that they're considering any other alternative possible. They're just considering alternatives.
Flying cars.
You know, I think Back to the Future is a great idea, but...
Dreaming ourselves.
Yeah. I actually approached an engineer about that one. So.
Hey, I was watching a show on television. That is closer to reality than you think.
I'm going to let him perfect it first.
I ain't going to be the first guinea pig.
Okay, any other questions for Curtis?
I don't think we have too much of a club, too much leverage, until and unless we get to a point where we start pulling back on service. And someone start screaming. I'm afraid the sales tax initiative is people just feel like they're paying a lot of tax. Pretty tough. Tough sell.
Yeah.
Going to continue, I'm afraid.
Thank you, Roger. Anything else? Okay, we've finished. I guess we'll adjourn. See you the 25th.